Everybody. It's a lovely day, and do you agree? Yes. Yes. But we can always find something to complain. But anyway, I'm happy you're here. And I'm looking forward to share words of wisdom and teachings of the Buddha. And I have a book here, Heartfelt Advice Book by Lama Dzogchen Dorje. And most you don't have this book, I advise try to get that book. If you're taking class here more, so this book looks like this. Many of you have this book, so it's good you bring along when you come to the Sunday. There are several benefits doing that. One of the benefits is if you read a chapter and meditate, and find out how to understand, you mark them. It's your book, so you can mark them and bring in my attention to discuss about it. Now, other way, it's also practice mindfulness. That means practice mindfulness means you remember to bring the book on a Sunday and not forget where you put it. And it's a sign of mindfulness because it gives you connect with the Dharma when you see the book. So there is some other reason to be involved with reading the book. But also, it's not just a book. The writer, you study with the writer, so you have a more original, sort of speaking, messages and interpretations and explanation right there, original, rather than third, fourth, fifth translation person. It's not like that. So it's have a different reason to be there. Other reason is the way in which I present Buddhism is a different, a little bit different than many other teachers. It's not necessarily one way is good, one way is bad. It's the tradition and the style where they learn it. So, for instance, Theravada tradition, some of the maybe Burmese way of teaching, quite different than Thai way of teaching. And then Tibetan Buddhist way of teaching is quite different than, let's say, American Buddhist way of teaching. So there's a lot of culture differences there. So we don't want to talk about that much because we want to talk Dharma here. So anyway, so the point here is you are studying with a Tibetan Lama, and therefore Tibetan tradition. So the original Lama, his way of presenting Dharma, his book, and an author is talking, it makes a little bit more fresh, more connection. That's other reason you need to read the book, only if you like to study with the Lama. Now, if you don't want to study with the Lama, it's a different thing. Or you have to leave, go other state, and there's no way you can go. So then you take the book and you read it. Anyway, I'm in heartfelt advice. So I try to present Dharma heartfelt way, means my heart to your heart make a sort of connection. And that is my intention, at least to say at least the answer. So I'm in a chapter, well, it's not chapter, page 63 in that book. It just opened, and I feel like to say from here. So now, page 63, we're talking about separation of mind and body. That is a major subject because hard to separate. When it's really separate, it's too late. If you know what I mean. When really separate, you're all a dead. So really, there's not much to talk about. Separation, mind from your body. But I'm talking about understanding relationship between mind and body. While we are life, and then what happened when we die? Relationship, mind and body. That kind of question, that kind of subject. Dharma practitioner, the Buddhist term for Dharma practitioner is, what I really mean is spiritual people. People who believe in the spiritual, involved with the spiritual. Or people believe himself, herself, spiritual person. Just because you believe, it's not enough. You have to have a good reason to believe you're a spiritual person. And in what sense you believe you're a spiritual person? This question, you need to ask yourself, so there will be no fight. If somebody asks you, there will be a fight. But if you ask yourself, we all ask ourselves, there's no fight. So, from the Buddhist perspective, spiritual person, how deal with relationship between mind and body. For example, if you get sick, and usually when we're talking about sick, we're talking about physical sickness. Although in a Western society, mental sickness is overly dominating now. Overly dominating means it's a big deal. It is a major subject, major issue in the Western society. But when we're talking about physical sickness, then majority people can't differentiate mind from body. So what happened here is you are sick and you have pain, experiencing pain, physical sickness. But you're also sick with the mental, because you can't differentiate. So you are mentally sick and physically sick, and both. So if we know the mind and body have a strong relationship, but nevertheless, they're not one, they're two. If you know that, then you can say, I have a physical pain. That means I know my mind is not sick. That means you're saying your mind is not sick, but mind, notice your physical is sick. Physical body is sick. So you separate. So you may be suffering from physical sickness, but you're not suffering from mental sickness. Which means more resistance, more healing, and more objectively you can treat and nicely with the physical sickness. Whereas body is sick and the mind is also sick, and very hard to deal with that, because you feel like you are drafted in a river of confusion. River, the big river going down. Some of these rivers, there's no chance you can escape. Once they take you down, you take all the way, like that. So that's the differences between practitioners and non-practitioners who don't know the separation between mind and body. Let me look at the page 63 and read and then comments on. As a true Dharma practitioners, we must live in accordance with the 10 wholesome actions and act in a way consistent with the principle of Buddha Dharma, so that we are completely free of regret and remorse at the time of our death. This line is talking about sort of speaking purpose of life. What is the essence of life? Have you ever think yourself what was the essence of life is? What is the life it's all about? So this question brings you, what is the goal of your life? Goal. What is the essence of your life? What is the meaning of your life? This question is for you. So, for Buddhist spiritual people, if they engage in 10 wholesome actions, 10 wholesome actions, doing positive things for yourself, for others, entire your life, watch your body, watch your mind, watch your speech, entire your life, then the end of your journey, the day you have to let it go, the day you have to let it go, your own body, well, you will have no regret, except you will have overjoyed. Overjoyed means you say, I done okay. I engage into helping everybody else and doing, never creating any negative towards anybody. I watch my body. I watch my speech. I watch my mind. I'm responsible for my own action, my body, speech, mind, entire my life. Therefore, I have no regret to let her go now because I done good job. That is the end of your tour or end of your journey of life. You will feel that way. If we are true Dharma practitioners, we spend so much time over the course of our lives associated with positive actions and practice to train our mind and to prepare ourselves for the moment of our own death, that. Preparation for moment of death is begin as soon as you're born, because as soon as you're born, you really don't know when it's coming, when the death is coming. Accident. Majority deaths are accident, means untimely death. Not necessarily you're too old to die, not necessarily you're too weak to die, just because accident. Your death is majority living beings are accident death. Death is occurred in accidentally, means untimely death. Time wasn't right, but took your life anyway. That will be category of accident death. Natural death will be running out of the fuel, F-U-E-L, fuel run out, and then car is no longer going. Death, and running out of your fuel, your own energy run out, is no longer there, and looks like death, and seems like death, and it is death. So the natural death, and majority living beings don't reach on the natural death, and they're experiencing or their obstacle, they run into obstacle in untimely death, which is called accident death. Accident death also have a wrong elements take. In other words, you have a, for example, your time of death is not come, but the problem is it's accident. The house burn and then you become barbecue. That will be accident element, the fire element. Accident element will be water, and things washing down, and you just kind of like can't defend yourself and took away and died. Water element. Air element is also interesting. From in Texas and Oklahoma, it seems like there's a lot of air elements can be a danger. Like takes you in the air and next thing you're gone. So it's the air element. Earth element is earthquake or mountains, landslide, or things like that also takes you, despair you, and died. So earth element. And the space element is interesting, that unidentified, invisible disease apply in the air all over. All you have to do is come to contact with your breathing, and you're gone. So the Buddhist texts talk about the losing life, his infinity possibilities, infinity number of possibilities to lose your life. When they see that, then they appreciate the life that you have, that we have. They appreciate your life, midst of that kind of possibility, still you are alive. still you are strong and healthy. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And appreciate you, yourself, what you are, who you are, rather than forget about everything. So, here, if we are true Dharma practitioner, we spend so much time over the course of our lives associated with the positive actions and practice to train our mind to prepare ourselves for the moment of our own death. It's almost like you have a you have a mission to accomplish. The reason you're born in a human realm and a classification of human existence is you have a mission to accomplish. The mission to accomplish is not eat, sleep, and pay the bill, and that's it. That's not in a mission. That is just everybody does. That is just so common for surviving, just so common. That's not your mission is. Your mission is a bigger picture, more purpose. There's a more reason, more bigger goal involved with it. And that is you're here to serve, practice bodhicitta, serve all living beings. Not to take advantage of all living beings, but serve all living beings as become a caretaker, server, to serve them, comfort them, help them, nurture them. That's the reason you're here. All of those what I was talking about is a part of bodhisattva activities, enlightened activities, enlightenment, or Buddha's activities. So, if we can do entire our life, body, speech, mind, involved with the positive actions and serving others, that is ultimately spiritual, right there. That is the spiritual practice. So, when that moment we're here is ourselves for the moment of our own death, we will be prepared. When that moment comes, we do not experience fear, anxiety. Fear and anxiety is when we have guilt. Especially fear, you're meeting with somebody, you have guilt, and deep down you have some guilt that you feel fear. Let's say your job interview. You don't know who you're going to talk. You already scared hell of it. But deep down, you know yourself, maybe I'm not qualified. Maybe they will reject me. That's the part of the fear. That's the part of the fear. It's not that they're going to shoot you a gun. But the problem is that your attachment to the money is so powerful. So what, they will abandon me. They will not accept me. So anyway, there is a guilt, there is a fear. And fear, because we have some faults, some attachments, some issues, and that brings you a lot of fear in our life. Now, if you've done all positive entire your life, and now you realize you're dying, why you so, what fear, why you fear, why you scared about what? You will say, it's about time. You will be something looking forward. But unenlightened beings don't understand what I'm saying here is, oh, life is better. I'm attached to death. I don't like it. But you forgot where you come from. But you forgot where you come from. We are, in the human realm, we are very temporary here. First chapter of the teaching of the Mundo says, how rare to obtain the human existence in the Mahamudra text, eh? It's very rare to obtain. Because it's so temporary that Namji Chami Hise Ronjur, nobody have any idea when you're gonna die. And Namji Chami Hise Ronjur, only we recognize when one is not walking and not talking anymore, and a dead. Then everybody say, oh, it's dead. Until then, nobody really know, but we are so close to death all the time, and yet we believe ourselves, oh, we're going to live 100 and over 100. The call it over 100 is majority. It doesn't look too good to me. But that's me. That's me. Because if they don't know who you're talking to, or you don't know what you're eating, it's over. To me, it's over. It's over. You can't tell it's a day and night. What good is that kind of life is? So if I were you, if I have a choices, I would say, please, that kind of is not I'm looking for. I think as soon as I can't enjoy the food I like to eat and the things, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. No attachment anymore. Of course, that's me. It's a leg and that is well trained and able to enter competition. We are excited at the prospect of experiencing the transition out of this lifetime. For this transition brings the possibility of liberation and enlightenment. So the bigger goal is what I want to say is enlightenment. Freedom from negative emotions, freedom from attachment, freedom from anger, freedom from confusion. That was the bigger goal. In order to achieve bigger goal, we have to improve to, or we have to make few steps each lifetime. And each lifetime is when we are in the human realm, we may not achieve the liberation in one lifetime, but we make a little progress each lifetime, and then next reincarnation, better and better. In other words, life and death is, let's say 75% is a death time. The lifetime is a 25%. So the whole picture of 100% your life measurement is 75% and you are dead and 25% that you are reincarnated here and there. So actually, if you call your home, going back to home, you go back to death is your home because it's a 75%, whereas the 25% is your temporary home because you are there only for a short time. For human, they say it's 100 years, according to Buddhist texts. But 100 years is also maybe one or two every 100 people. May make. These days, medicine and scientists, maybe they will prove something. maybe make a little bit longer. But as I said earlier, if the quality is good, then longer, that's good. If the quality is not good, longer might be more burden, more problem for the society. They have to change a new law. So all kinds of things might happen. If everybody live over 100 and everybody live 200, that will be a lot of money problem. But anyway, as true Dharma practitioner, and I'm talking about you guys as a part of true Dharma practitioner, the true Dharma practitioner, we must practice the perfection of generosity. The reason we should practice generosity is we like to get things from people. Why not you give things for people? If you like get things from people, why not you give things for people? Other part is, you don't own anything when you came on a board. You came with empty hand and you just cry. And until mother feeds you milk, you came with empty hand. And you go back also empty hand. Actually, you will have no hand even. Not only go back empty hand, but you will lose your hand even. And so what my message here is, generosity is a tool, instrumental tool to let it go and serve. The material is very useful and helpful if you use that as a generosity and as a tool to communicate with other living beings by sharing and donating, making offerings. It can be big scale, it can be small scale. Small scale is your near and dear ones. You trade lunch, dinner, flowers, your near and dear ones. Every time you give something, do not think that you have shortage of giving away. Never run out. You never run out what you can give away something. There's always something you can give away. It's never, no matter how poor you are, you can be poor down to the homeless. Still, I bet you can find some nickels or maybe some cans, piece of wood, piece of conch, piece of rock. I'm sure that you'll find something. If that is what you have, you're making an excellent offering based on what you have. Based on what you have. So, since you can't brought anything, you can't take anything, is that message is clear? That you can share and let it go and give them. In a Buddhist standard, giving is ya kunjo 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 ni jorje tamjin tu dang kunjo je rido de ba san jorje lencha pulmon kor jorje nam gun ro je tsoni ja. I'm not sure I translate all of that for you or not. Kunjo jebe ni jorje. All enlightened beings, spirit or God or deities, angels up there or anywhere, you please them making offering. And that includes also Lama, if you have a guru, teacher or guidance, you please them. Making offerings, because it's a tool, instrumental tool, you make offering. Tool. May all sentient beings are satisfied, fulfilled their desires by your making offerings. What powerful. So that's another. All sentient beings are recipient that they can receive your offering. So you share them, you make offerings right there. It's a very tricky one, very difficult for you to understand. It's Lencha means it's karmic death. Kind of like karmic death. It's a debt that you owe them, but you didn't pay them. So it always bother you because you didn't pay money. So you have a lot of guilt feeling, by the way. And the karmic debt is a very interesting, and most people will not understand what I'm saying here is because I don't know how to explain well either. But the karmic debt is, let me tell you this. Karmic debt is you're supposed to be mother, but you reject, you kill the child, you're not mother, and you owe be a good mother, but you didn't fulfill. You're supposed to be father, and you just scare hell of them, and you are a shaky guy. You didn't fulfill the be a good father. You're supposed to be a good son, good daughter for your parents. But you fail. Constant, you create problem after problem. You owe be a good son, be a good daughter, but your karmic debt, it's stuck on you right there. And then we take advantage of each other. But you may not agree with me. You can say, Lama, I don't take advantage of anybody. If I can, I could. But I can't, so I won't. Because they're watching me. And I don't want to go downtown with the police, with the chain on. All the bad boys, bad girls, the lockup. And I don't want to do that. Because of that, otherwise, if I could, I would cheat on something, lying. You're lying for the government. You're lying for the bigger sangha. You're lying for your loved ones, their dear ones, your parents, your husband, wife. You cheat all the time. It's so normal. It's so become a common. You don't even realize you're cheating. You might say, this is what I do. This is what I'm used to do. So this is not cheating. Are they? Are they cheating? We cheat all the time. Which means a karmic debt kicks in. Because you cheat them, so you have to pay the price, a karmic debt. So you owe them. Now, who we owe them? One person or one? We eat animal meat. We eat almost, even we are vegetarian, we eat millions of bucks killed because in order to get a plateful of vegetables, plateful of rice, we eat millions of bucks. And where is the justice for losing their lives for us to eat the vegetarian? Even we say we are vegetarian. I don't eat meat. On top of that, those who eat the meat, animal flesh that we eat, we owe flesh for those animals. We take life from animals by stepping on bugs or kill anything. We owe life because we killed them, whether we are consciously or unconsciously, doesn't matter. We did kill. So eye for eye. If you take somebody's eye, you owe your eye for them. That is the karmic debt. So how many people, how many living beings? Countless beings. And the course of how many lifetimes? Since the beginningless times. So therefore, so here, practice generosity, letting it go, share. whenever, wherever you can. It's crucial for the Buddhist practitioners. If you're not Buddhist, I'm just wasting my breath. But if you're Buddhist, hoping you will hear this and you will do the right thing. So he says, the true Dharma practitioner, we must practice the perfection of generosity. The ultimate contentment that you will experience is the perfection of generosity. You giving, sharing so much, you feel more here and there, you feel you content. I have a lot of things. I'm happy with what I have. I don't think I need anything more. I have plenty. When you have contentment, I'm talking about the dinero. I'm talking about your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. Always you want a new one, better one. Not the one you have is so good. It's a kind of mediocre. The word we use is it's okay when you don't, you better than nothing. Let's put that. But it's not the best. See, I figure out and I experience what you're thinking. So, what you have is a better than nothing. And you always wanting something better than that. It's a common thing. It's a common problem for all living beings. It's a common problem. So, contentment, when you feel like you are content, what you have is a blessing. Even though it may be occurred momental, like few seconds it occurred to you, it's a blessing. When your life is filled like, I'm okay, I have everything I want. Your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your children, you need to tell yourself, I'm okay what I have. I'm happy with what I have. But how many of you ever think about that way? This is maybe majority people say, I never thought that way. So, perfection of generosity to such a degree that we become able to freely give up all that we have without reservation. Is it better to give, share others while your hands are functioning, your body is functioning, your mind is functioning, because sooner or later somebody have to take them away anyway. Usually I see in a curve, no much benefit. In the curve of the road of your house, that used to be your house. So now it's going to be so-called your children or brother, sister, or somebody else. They will take care, and they are very happy. They're not sad that they lost you. They're so happy. New homes available here. Make sure it's a repaint so I don't smell any bad. Yeah. When we do, we are able to remain unattached to this life at the moment of our death. So, preparation for life after death. Life after death is so close that any given time you can be gone for the surface of the earth. Moment of our death. Allowing liberation to occur. Liberation is a free from attachment. Liberation is a free from depress. Liberation is a free from suffering and pain. That will be liberation. Finally, as true Dharma practitioner, we must diligently follow the three principles advocated by the sage. Moral conduct. Moral conduct is be honest and be humble and be honest. Be honest to yourself, be honest to your near dear one, and be honest with your fellow human beings. So, moral contact, meditation. Meditation is the most important commodity that is available up in the universe up there. And if you don't possess, it's your problem. If you don't connect it, it's your problem. And if it's not benefiting to you, if you think you're smart, you figure out. So, it says, first is a moral contact, third is a meditation. Meditation helps you rejuvenate yourself, rejuvenate yourself. Meditation also gives you experiencing fullness yourself, fullness. Otherwise, you are full here, but something always missing. Part of your mentally, a lot of things are missing. And you don't know what the missing is, but you feel like not fully there. You're up on the air, flow around. Meditation is a very... Meditation is the marrow, M-I-R-R-O-W, how you say? Marrow to see your mind. You cannot see yourself without using meditation practice. So meditation is a marrow to see yourself. I'm not talking about physical body. It's a mental body. Talking about your mental body. You cannot see yourself. You cannot understand yourself until you see yourself. Your mental body, not physical body. Physical body you can see on a narrow glass. And as we get older, you don't want to see yourself because you might get heart attack. That part is joking. I'm joking. As you get older and older, you see narrow less and less. Did you know that? And pretty soon you say, what the heck? I don't want to look at the mirror. The funny part is if you are coloring your hair, then what happens is if you don't look at a mirror closely, one part is different color, other part is different color, and then it looks funny. And especially your mustache or beard or the part of the, some are a little green color, other is a yellow color. It makes me scared. What's this? Why? What did they? Because they didn't look at the mirror carefully, make sure it match. That's a fun part of the talk. But the last but not least is transcendent wisdom. We all have wisdom because we all have Buddha nature. We all have basic goodness. We all have wisdom, but we use wisdom many different ways, and majority times we use our wisdom is we waste it, and we use the wrong things, and we never use an appropriate way. So, contact with the moral contact, and meditation, and transcendental wisdom. Transcendental wisdom is ultimate kind of wisdom that is almost, we can say, your third eye, the wisdom eye. This wisdom eye need to open, and this this third eye, so-called wisdom eye, you must find it. You have one, and you're not using it. You need to find it, then you need to use it. And when you use it, you will see a bigger scope. It all depends on size of your wisdom, but you will see more clearly, and you understand much deeper level. And consequences is your body, speech, your mind, less making mistakes. In other words, when I say less making mistakes means less making bad karma and making more good karma. The good karma means your actions are more positive, good karma. The good karma result good. Bad karma result is bad. So more result you experience in positive, it's what you're looking because of you're using wisdom, your wisdom, which is figuratively speaking as a third eye, the wisdom eye. So we all need a wisdom eye because we are in the samsara. Because without wisdom eye, we go round and round, and we have one problem. We can't find the door or window, how we get out of the loop of samsara. Samsara is called wheel of life, wheel of samsara. So we go round and round, one light and two light and three light and 100 million, it's just going round and round. If we follow these instructions throughout our entire lives, we will be so well prepared for our own death that we will experiencing no negative emotions when our mind separates from our body. Would that be nice? The way you are using your body, where you have an intimacy relationship, mind and body, you help countless sentient beings. And when you lose the body or separate from your body, mind from your body, you fulfill your mission or journey of your life. And that is the theme for today. It's page 33. Hope you enjoy it. And here we will meditate a few minutes that will give us more remember, or at least a few words. So that is called Sunday program. And do you have any questions? Yes, sir.
This might be way too big a question. We're talking about death. From a Vajrayana standpoint, how the transmigration is the Pure Land of Sukha Bhakti connected with what you were saying today.
Yeah. Can you repeat one more time?
Okay. So, when you were talking about death and rebirth, how does Sukha Bhakti play a part in what you were talking about? I don't understand this as well as I do.
Sukha Bhakti. Where the Sukha Bhakti is, or what was your question?
How does it fit in with the whole rebirth?
Probably I'm not talking about Sukha Bhakti or the paradise, Western paradise, or heaven, pure land. I'm not talking about that context today. When we're talking about reincarnation, we're talking about by the force of law of karma, cause and effect, born in six realms. Wherever you're born, it's a force of law of karma, cause and effect. That context I'm talking about, the beginningless or countless lifetime. We're talking about that. But if we're talking about the heaven and pure land and paradise, that is the ultimate sort of achievement of the practice. And they're not forced by law of karma, but they're born there as accomplishment, to born there, and then they can also reincarnate it to help all sentient beings or living beings. So it's like I've been there, I'm going back and help everybody else, sort of speaking. That is the illicit connotation, manifestation of Dharmakaya, form of Nirmanakaya. It will be turku or reincarnated connotation, is by choose to come back. And in some cases, they choose their parents and choose where they want to born. They have choices. So it's not by force of the law of karma. Where it's a majority who born in the six realms are, it's not the choice born. They're born reincarnated by force of law of karma, cause and effect. However, when you do choose, I read reincarnation in a samsara, how the animals choose the animal parents, or humans choose human parents, or humans choose animal parents. How that happened, at the moment when you're looking for your parents, looking for your parents, you also have to look for your budget. Because the budget is easy to relate with you. Isn't it you, when you buy a house, you look for your budget? Isn't it when you rent apartment, you look for your budget? Isn't it you make a trip to somewhere, you look for your budget, what you can, what you cannot. Is that true? If that is true, that's what I'm talking about here. So when your budget is born in a prog family, then a prog family looks like very tasty, very nice, and very revealed to you. If your budget is born in a cow family, then you see the cow is the best thing I can see. I can feel close connection. you feel a cow. And then you choose human family, and particularly your chosen one, because there are many human beings. So chosen one, your parents, you will say, if I am a son or daughter of that mother, I have no questions asked. I'm so happy and content. In the meantime, you're not alone. There's a few more thousand who want the same mother. So that's where the competition is come. Then when your competition is done, if some reason you beat everybody and you are in the first line, then you are in a mother's womb. And you begin to form into sesame seed size, little bit bigger, little bit bigger, and very soon too big. Then you come out. That's it. So does that answer your question, Swaram? Yeah, interesting question. Reincarnation. So, jokingly people say, I don't like my parents because they don't give me allowances. They beat me up and when I was young and they didn't let me do this. They discipline a lot. I don't like my parents. I think I like my boyfriend, girlfriend better. And even though they beat me once in a while. But, you know, all of those. My answer, initially answer is, when you found your mother, you didn't say those things. You said, if no questions asked, if I find this mother, I will be the happiest one. No questions asked. That's how you proceeded into your mother. And now you are complaining. So you got the package, you stick with the package. And each lifetime there's only one mother. And physically only one mother each lifetime. So this time it's a human, next time maybe horse. So it's good. It's all good. And those are the six neighbors, the animal realm, hungry ghost realm, and demigod realm, hell realm. That's another realm, always excitement. No dull moment. It says, Nyense Nyingo Rojat, the Mitsen Chu Rami Hyama Ru. That means hot realms, cold realms. And there are eight hot realms and eight cold realms. And those, the measurements of those, the hot ones, the what we call volcano hot, they are still too cold compared with hell realm hot. 100 times more or 500 times more kind of thing. Cold is the same thing. The cold of icy, a blow freezing thing, the ice refrigerator, those are nothing. Those are still summer. Compared with the cold we're talking about, the harder it go deeper in the harder. There are eight of them. And why people they are, it's the same gesture, same karmic reinforcement like a bad boys are locked up in a jail. And some of them, they're locked up entire their life. Well, humans are doing what they can do. And law of karma, cause and effect, they have intensive prisoners and realms, like cold realm and hot realms. They have to stay there of millions of trillions a year, depends on what was the crime that they did. Depends on the accumulation of the crime that they accumulated in a real lifetime. So they say, Buddhist sages and lamas say that human realm, some of the smartest people can manipulate and trick other people and take other people's property, money, and take advantage and cheat and lying and a business, name of the business, and do this. Fact is, they're not smart because they had to go all the way down there. Actually, the dumbest ones are acting the smartest on the planet Earth. In other words, dumb is the people who's making lots of money from everybody. Dumb is the people on planet Earth, what we call most successful people, because you don't want to mess around because he has 10 lawyers. You know, they can put you in, even you don't have to crime anything, they can put you in a jail with like that. They can make you disappear with a little money here and there like that, because you are like a buck compared with the successful people in planet Earth. But the Buddha teaching says that those smartest people and successful people in planet Earth are the eventually dumbest people. They end up in way down there that nobody want to go there. In hell realm, and cold and hot hell realm. So there's a joke going on, says, maybe the hell realm, the worst hell realm, is not so bad. All those smart people on planet Earth, they are heading back to there. And then the dumbest people on the planet Earth who are practitioners, Buddhist practitioners. Some people think they're smart, not smart. They think, oh, they're meditating, practice. What the heck is this? So they think these are the dumb people, dumbest people. They say dumbest people join to the Buddhist practice. And dumbest people join to the Buddhist people. They said that in a mundane world. But fact is, it's not dumbest. They're all dumbest people going to the Tushita or their Devajir. They're all going in that direction. So the dumbest was found out their smartest people. They're going to the heaven, all of them. And this was a common saying in the Buddhist joke. Thank you, everybody. Please rise and sing a song of enlightenment.